Al, quit it. Al, quit it. Al, quit it.
Worms. Worms.
This is the Freedom Fiends.
Yeah.
Trigger Freedom warning.
Fiends. Yep.
Broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios on the corner of Crash View and Nata Vista, we alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves.
Rejuvenative.
3D glasses now. We warm your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Michael, can you really feel it? Over there. Maybe. No comment. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a Bibcot Nova government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at bibcot.org. For the newly droned, Michael, are you back? Not quite. So, unfortunately, Michael just got droned himself.
Fiend phone.
But I'm still
negative.
Here.
It's negative one here, man. Yeah, I think the Fiend phone froze. Yeah.
No doubt.
I like how you sent me this really sexy picture, you, no homo, of you outside somewhere in Hawaii looking for the missile that didn't land. And I said, where is that? And, you know, I was looking for answer like my town or Hawaii or, you know, I don't know, something like that.
Something
and you
big.
Sent me like the geo coordinates of where it was, or at least the street address. Like, I don't need to know that. Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
is that freedom? Hey, is that freedom? Go ahead. Over. Yeah.
Over. I trust some people with actual addresses. What do you think?
Yeah.
No, ask your question about freedom, because that's what the show is.
People don't know. People don't know my address, but if they did, you know, it wouldn't be the end of the world. It's not like, I mean, first of all, I live in Wyoming and no one lives here. Second of all, you'd have to go pretty far out of your way to find me. And third of all, what are you going to do? Like, come aggress on me in my home, in a house, in a place where, you know, if you shoot a home invader, they give you a medal, probably? I don't think so.
Right. Yeah, and nope. I think that way, too, is like, anyone who really, really hates Daryl Becker, oh, wow, what an effort to
go to Hawaii. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's people in Denver who listen to this that could, well, actually, we're on in this town. People could come over here and, I don't know, look at me or something, knock on my door, tell me I'm wrong. You're wrong. I came over here to tell you you're wrong and we need more government. We don't need liberty.
But, you know, I just want to treat everyone like a potential client, you know? Like, I want to do business with them someday, maybe, you know, if they pay me enough.
Not me.
You know?
I want everyone to go away.
Not you.
Just send me money and don't talk to me. That's my attitude. That's the kind of business I want to do.
And that is a great marketing plan. Just send me money and go away.
Well, you know, if I'd kept all the Bitcoin people sent me back when Bitcoin was worth $30, that would have been a great business plan. But I was like, hey, I'm not going to hodl it like everyone else. I'm going to use it in commerce because I'm a real libertarian. So, yeah. Yeah, that 50 or 60 Bitcoin I spent back when it was worth $30. Ugh, man.
Everyone's got regrets of kind of cryptocurrency past and Bitcoin past, but really, honestly, I mean, before I get into some harsh events of this weekend, I just want to say it's 2018. You can do it with crypto if you're still an early adopter.
It's not too late.
Voice right now.
But this is not recommending. We're not giving advice.
No, I don't advise you to go ahead and make a nice portfolio of Litecoin, EOS, and Ripple, and Monero. But, you know, allegedly go ahead and
dog
do that
whistle.
If you want to make serious money.
And some dog whistle coin. You know, somebody got mad at me recently because, so I invented this cryptocurrency called Bipcoin, not Bitcoin, but Bipcoin. And Bipcoin has gone up 1,400% in the past year. No, in the past 2 months, it's gone from 2 cents to like 30 cents. And, you know, now it's about 24 cents, I think, today. But it's been over 20 cents. Basically, since Jeremy sold all his crypto for 4 cents, all his Bitcoin at 4 cents to buy Monero, which may or may not be a good decision. Monero's a good investment, but, you know, by selling all your Bitcoin for 4 cents each, for some reason, I don't know if that really like jacked the market up, but that was the day after that, it just went up, and it's been up since then for like 2 or 3 weeks. And Someone actually got mad at me recently because about a year ago, somebody asked me, hey, should I, you know, I don't do mining, but should I buy some Bitcoin? And I said, nah, I wouldn't invest in it. You know, and I say that to everybody about anything because I don't want to be responsible when they lose money. I mean, of course, I wouldn't be technically, but I get tired of saying, this is not financial advice. Do not invest more than you are prepared to lose, which we're going to say right now, which covers this entire show and every Freedom Fiend show. But we'll probably say it again sometime. But I didn't feel like saying all that to the guy. And I said, nah, I wouldn't invest. And he did not invest. And now Bitcoin's up, you know, 30 cents from 2 cents a year ago. And he's mad at me. Isn't that hilarious? Dude, you're an adult.
It is.
You know, don't be a liberal.
You know.
Liberals.
I think, is there a way to encourage real self-responsibility so that you could say, I'm going to say what I would do in your position, and how about you take 100% responsibility for your own actions and your own thoughts and your own feelings? How about that? You know?
Yeah. Like, that's what you do, because you consult with for people. I don't do that. I tell people to go away.
Well, I'm going to get you in my network of consultants if, you know, if I can. I try to post on all the proper crypto groups in Facebook. I think you know the proper groups that I'm speaking of.
You know? Oh yeah.
So
the one that Virgil started is the only one I'm on. That's the only one I'm on. Actually,
that's the one.
Matt Bergman added me to one, but I don't know. I haven't looked at it. He's a good guy. I don't want to be on a bunch of groups. I'm on a couple groups. That's it.
Just a couple groups. That's all I do too. You know,
the only groups I'm on, if the group can't help me make money or help me enjoy pictures and photographs of cats, then I don't want to be on it. The only groups I'm on, I mean, I'm on some groups like I'm an admin on the Freedom Fiends group and the Bitcoin group and the BIPCOT no government license group and the Biptunia musical group. You know, my preferred pronoun is Bip, but, yeah, but I'm barely on it. I just post on those and don't read what people comment. I don't care. I speak to the world in one direction. I'm right. You're all wrong. Listen to me. Boy, this is not how you get advertisers, is it? Okay. Speaking of which, there's a great thing that you should check out called Cell 411. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. What? Huh?
That's what Over. I was going to say, so continue.
Do it. Heard me. Go ahead. What's Cell 411?
So on Cell 411 is the app that you can just go ahead and install on your iPhone or Android. Right
oh,
now.
Really? How much does it
Why
cost,
do you want to do,
Daryl?
It is free, but here's the deal.
Why I mean, would I want to do that?
What if you
Let's
have,
be like one of those commercials with the guys yakking back and forth. Why would I do that,
okay,
Daryl?
So, well,
I already have Angry Birds. So why do I need more apps?
Well, let's just say you just happen to have an emergency where you want to reach out to more than one person at in one time. You know, if you have one specific person, you just call them and text them, right? But what if you want to just sort of make a whole group of people that you could quickly reach out to
because
a ballistic missile threat just happened to show up on someone's phone and you're kind of like wondering about that, you know?
Yeah.
So
I heard that happen.
It's an opportunity. You know, that's a rare event. But for most people, how about this? That also happened on my Saturday. I got a flat tire. And
there was a missile coming, and you needed, there was a flat tire in Hawaii, and you had a missile coming, you thought, and you needed help to get out of that area.
Man.
And get into your shelter that you dug, right?
Yeah.
Into a ditch or depression.
Good thing for my drilling, my tunneling device, you know, for that.
Yeah.
That bores 50-meter wide tunnels, but
that's boring.
That's boring. Herman,
yeah.
Boring.
So you
boring,
could use Cell 411 to call people that give them, basically you set up cells of friends or family, and you, when there's an emergency, you press one of the, there's a little wheel on the front, like the wheel in the sky that keeps on turning, and it says things like fire, robbery, medical emergency, car broken down, stopped by police. There's a bunch of them being bullied, and you press one of those, and then it sends out an alert on phones to your cell of friends that tells them where you are, what the emergency is, and gives them turn-by-turn directions. And you can broadcast video to them, and it's saved on the Cell 411 servers for a week or two. So, you know, if your phone gets confiscated, you don't lose the video you shot, even if they delete what's on your phone. Now, someone might say, some statist listening might say, but I don't trust what people say that I know. I want the government to give me information. First of all, you should trust your friends. And in a lot of emergencies, you probably want a friend to show up instead of the cops. Because when you call 911, I saw a video the other day of a guy who called 911. He had a silent alarm, and like his kid accidentally tripped it or something. And the cop showed up and shot his dog. And I want to say something right now. Those videos are important. But anybody that I'm following on social networks that posts them without saying what it is and it autoplays, I'm going to unfollow you. I'm not going to block you, but I'm really sick of seeing videos of cops shooting dogs without a warning, because I don't need to see those videos, because I know cops shoot dogs. And I will say that on radio to many people, that when you, a lot of times, cops are trained to shoot a dog. So if you have a dog who's curious or friendly and he barks at the dog, the cop, and approaches him, cops will often shoot him. Your friends won't do that. And if they do, you need to get new friends. So you might want your friends to show up instead of the cops. And that's why you call cell 411, or you get cell 411 and set it up and use it. And they also have like an emergency button. It's like a wrist button. Like, I've fallen and I can't get up. It's like $30. That's, you know, it replaces that kind of system. The I've fallen and I can't get up system, which costs a lot of money and calls the police, right, actually. Yeah.
It's probably only a matter of time, Michael, before that, like, you know, can just be an app that just jumps right to your smartwatch, you know.
But well, this is a kind of thing. This actually, is kind of a one function smartwatch, the cell 411 fob. Right. Yeah, I have one. It's great.
Yeah.
It can go around your neck or on your wrist. It's $30. It's Bluetooth, connects with your phone, and, you know, sends the alert to cell 411. I don't think there's a way to tell what the alert is, but it's just a general alert. It'd be for people like elderly people who, you know, might trip on their black cat in the middle of the night and fall down the stairs, and their black cat would eat them after a day or two. I've decided that's how I'm going to die. Black cats. That's why they're unlucky, but I love them. We'll be back talking about alerts that are not as fun as cell 411 from the government when we get back from this trip to the free market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Hi, this is Mark Edge of Free Talk Live. Michael W. Dean's book, User's Manual for the Human Experience, changed my life. In a culture that attempts to turn you into a compliant victim, this book gives you implementable steps on everything from how to be aware of your environment walking down the street to business, to how to handle a toxic person in your life. If you're a human, you need to read this book at least once. Go to Amazon and get the Kindle version, or paperback, or an audiobook of A User's Manual for the Human Experience.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, freedom. We're talking about freedom and how the government takes it away, even when they try to do good things. So, there was a missile alert in Hawaii. So, you're wearing this shirt that says freedom. Is this a takeoff on a Ramon shirt? It looks like it. Okay. All right. Got it. All right. So what happened in Hawaii? Show me where the Hawaiian government touched you. Show me on the doll this weekend.
Well, funny thing is, it touched seemingly everyone. My girlfriend's phone. Not everyone.
But not yours. Yeah, so some if you people, have an iPhone. Well, but maybe if there's
well, actually, it was
needed,
random.
Your iPhone wouldn't give it to you.
Oh, you know, every single time when it's like heavy rain and like it's like there for a flood watch, all of our phones simultaneously go off, or a tsunami warning that goes off, whatever it is, it goes off, or the storms. Sometimes occasionally a storm actually can make it to this island once in a while.
We don't have that here.
Push it away.
We get it very infrequently, those alerts, those reverse 911 alert things. But
right.
The funny thing in my town is we have a system of speakers, loudspeakers on poles, on telephone poles throughout the city. But I'm far enough away from... they're really ineffective. I mean, this is probably a system from the 40s or something, World War II. But every once in a while, like when there was a hurricane...
You know?
there's a hurricane threat here. And like, you hear this voice over the speaker that's in your neighborhood and loud, but you can't understand it. You go out on your porch and you hear this like, it could be saying, we're all going to die. It could be saying, you know, put on a raincoat. It could be saying incoming missile. It could be saying Yellowstone's active volcano has erupted. Do you live under an active volcano too? I think you do, don't you? Or near one?
I live on top of one, yeah. Yeah.
All right.
I wouldn't say underneath. No, I'm kind of on the surface of the pimple.
Here's the thing. What's the thing?
Here's the thing. Okay, so normally phones all go off, and also there are tsunami sirens at my location. I would be able to hear them if it was a big, real, actual deal. If they were going to turn everything on, it would be all phones and all sirens, right? But, and certainly any radio station that I tune into. Which I had to go to the internet because I actually don't own a radio. But here's the it was just a Sunday morning, having coffee, getting ready for like some work that I had planned for that Saturday, and then I got this. I'm reading it right now. A photo of my girlfriend's phone. It says emergency alert, imminent extreme alert, January 13, 2018, 8:07 a.m. In caps, ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii.
Ah, man,
seek immediate shelter. Stop. This is not a drill. Stop. And then
it confirmed. No, it didn't. Did it?
It's period. You know, I'm just being dramatic. Yeah. So
dramatic. Okay.
There's a confirm button. That's all. Just a button to confirm that you got it.
What if you don't confirm? And do they come to your house?
Who knows? But
or is it you can't use your phone for anything else till you hit the alert? Is that how it works?
So I spent my time researching because I'm seeing it not on my phone but on hers. And the sirens aren't going off. That's odd. And also, on this unlikely location of where I live, where the nearest town is, you know, maybe pushing, like, almost 50,000 people. It's not also very, like, high on the list of, you know, places to cause mayhem as collateral damage. So,
yeah.
I'm thinking maybe not, you know? And, like, but Honolulu is always a possibility if someone wanted to go nuts. But
Pearl Harbor.
You know, here's
Pearl
the deal.
Harbor was there.
Yeah. Pearl Harbor, right, you know. And so this freaked out a lot of people, and I'm looking at Facebook, and I'm sending some messages around, and false alarm was confirmed at least like a good, you know, 5 or 10 minutes later by various officials. And you got these news articles of all the people who are angry that, you know, this shouldn't have happened, and someone messed up, and someone's going to pay for this. And then eventually, you know, the most really ridiculous thing, Michael, and I sent you an article, where people start, like, actually saying, and Trump should have known better.
What?
Because he didn't respond in the 38 minutes it took to fully, like, retract it. Because 38
he
minutes later,
about
then
that.
I got a different...
He's got to brag about his ratings.
You know, I'm just thinking, that's kind of weak, you know?
What, not you know, like, responding?
Yeah, it's just weak just to, like, turn the focus against Trump when I'm thinking was a big...
And also, like...
This was
you
a psychological operation.
If Trump had responded about it, first of all, yeah, Trump probably ordered it. Or probably not, but probably someone in the government ordered it to, allegedly, to ramp up the need for... We need billions of dollars for more warheads and to have a system where this can't happen. Actually, I heard that they've already solved this. Because now it takes two people to deliver an alert like this. Although, what if all of them are dead except one person? You know, what if there's like some toxic gas coming and it hits the office first where the alerts come from, kills everybody except the one guy who's on oxygen, you know, me. And then how does he tell everyone? He tweets.
I've got a plan for that, but I can't describe it until we return after the market.
In 10 seconds? Try.
Pretty much.
Go ahead.
It's just two.
Never mind. Worms.
Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women is Michael W. Dean's novel from the year 2000. It's entirely fictional.
Allegedly.
Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women is a glorious story about a low-rent post-punk rock star, Cash Newman. Cash Newman is entirely made up.
Not a guarantee.
And is not based on any particular person.
Not a guarantee.
Cash Newman has lots of fun with strange ladies and with the party favors.
Don't try this at home.
And he hangs out with people who commit 3 felonies a page.
But that's none of my business.
It's all in good fun. And at the same time, it's kind of deep. But always spunky. Michael recently updated the book to a much better version. He released it as a paperback and for the first time on Kindle. As with this and all Freedom Fiends related things, please rate and review. Get Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women now on Amazon or at michaelwdean.com.
For entertainment purposes only.
Where is Krakatoa?
Indonesia.
Okay.
This is the Geometry Fiends, and we are...
Geometry?
Aware of geology. All the geometry of this world.
Geography.
Yes.
Geo-something.
Geography.
Yeah.
You know, literally, yeah. Geometry means the measure of the world, so I was measuring from here to there, I guess.
So, geometry. Show me on the doll where the false flag touched you. Now, I want to say this before you answer that.
Yeah.
Answer this. No, don't. This is like the guy who did it. First they said he quit, and then it just said he got reassigned. If a person like hacked them and did this, he'd get like 10 years in prison, probably more. And this is something hackers do, is try to like, somebody actually hacked the emergency alert. What is it? It used to be called something else. Now it's called something else. The radio alert system thing. Somebody hacked that for the whole state of Montana a couple of years ago and issued an alert. It was like a recording that sounded official. There was supposed to be the CDC issuing a zombie alert. Did you hear about this?
No.
That's more fun than North Korea's bombing you. Yeah.
So North Korea. How do I answer that?
Tell me about your day, Saturday or Sunday.
Well... Yeah, some people jumped right to North Korea in their head or from their mouth.
Wait. We're bearing the lead. Like, explain what happened. We didn't really concisely explain what happened. And you were there,
concisely.
Which is, you know, this is news. Actually, we rarely have news on this show. But what was it like? What happened to you?
Okay, so at 8:07 a.m., the emergency alert says, on at least a bunch of phones, not mine specifically, ballistic missile threat... Inbound to Hawaii, seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill. Confirm. And that's right there on my girlfriend's phone and lots of other people's phones. And so I'm starting to reach out on social media and with text messages to confirm or deny what's exactly going on while various concern is rising around me. And I mean around me, like I'm starting to hear, you know, other phones going off with this, you know, that sound, Michael, you know, the phone that, you know, like the alert sound of phones, right? You got me. So it took more than 38 minutes before eventually I got on all phones, emergency alert. There is no missile threat or danger to the state of Hawaii. Repeat, false alarm.
Did anyone die of a heart attack? Like War of the World style?
Just people
or kill their children
like,
to save them from North Korea?
No, but spending like some time in a moldy container that they have on their property, you know, like those rusty shipping containers that people have over here, you know, like the whole family huddled in there wondering if you know, shipping containers, right? They're like across the world.
Yeah.
We're over here.
I know, but
most
they
of
use those for fallout
them,
shelters
right?
for what
well,
hurricanes.
They certainly are fairly durable. Yeah, they take a beating.
I think that's just better so they can find you. Afterwards, you know, that was always my theory. When I was a kid, I grew up in the tail end. Well, I grew up in the Cold War, which ended in 89, I guess, when the wall came down, or 90. But I went to, you know, I was, let's say, I'm born in 64. So in 69, I went to kindergarten. So they were still having duck and cover drills for probably till I was in like third grade, where, you know, like nuclear, like Russia bombing. Hide under your desk. The Russians are coming. And I have a theory now. Somebody said this, but I believe this, is ducking under your desk really wouldn't do much. I mean, maybe if the bomb was, you know, 100 miles away, it would keep the building from collapsing on top of you, and you could crawl out later and die of radiation poisoning and become a zombie. But I think that they had you hide under your desks so they could find each kid. Because back then they had, so they could recognize them. Because back then they had assigned seating in a lot of places. So, you know, they'd have the chart of like, oh, that charred remains is Michael Dean, little Michael Dean. Yeah.
We can measure his little dental fillings and his little skull there. Oh, there, that's Michael. Yeah. There we go. Yeah, yeah, that's grim. But
yep.
So I did entertain such grim thoughts for like a couple moments until I realized this is basically a psychological operation, getting a lot of people afraid and angry and confused, seemingly. I mean, if I'm going to bet on something, right, because all I can do is just guess. And whatever story they're going to spin is nonsense, honestly.
Yeah.
Come on.
Probably.
That's just crazy.
Or it could be it could be an errant, you know, like an employee who didn't like something, like, you know, is a Democrat and wants to make Trump look bad or something. Like, was it recently, like a Twitter employee, like turned off Trump's account for 38 minutes. I think it was 38 minutes, interestingly. Wow. Hmm. Coincidence?
The real Donald Trump. I'm skeptical.
Singer in the Cranberries died, whoever that is. They had a song called Zombie.
You know,
that's who that is. I don't care.
Love me song. You know, that
I don't care.
In my head.
I don't care.
Okay. Got it.
I cared when David Bowie died. I cared when Kurt Cobain died. I cared when Lemmy died. I kind of cared when Prince died, but not really. And that's not racist.
Radiohead.
I didn't like Prince as much as him. Yeah, I cried a lot when Radiohead died. Yeah, I loved him. He was great.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, what? They're alive and they're a band? Okay, I don't know. You know, when I started on radio, when I started on radio in 1984, were you alive in 1984, Daryl?
Absolutely.
Okay. When I was started, but were you old enough to be on radio? Were you in college? I was in college.
No, I was not yet in college. I was yet in junior high.
So my friend Phil Warmoth, my good friend, my new best friend that was my best friend in college, and then we drifted apart for 30 years and recently got back together and formed Biptunia together. He's the poet. Have you heard my band yet? You haven't heard my band, have you? I don't care. I don't care. Have you, Daryl?
I've heard some songs.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's some of them have singing. Some have a poet talking. He's the poet. And he and I went to Jamestown Community College in Jamestown, New York. And we were DJs on the radio station, the music radio station there, which was called WJWK. Don't look for it. It's gone. It was a 10-watt FM station that I think had a bad antenna because it like barely reached to the edge of the campus, which was less than a mile. And like 10 watts, you know, up on top of a roof can reach a lot more than a mile. But we used to go, you know, play Pink Floyd. And we'd talk a lot, too. We'd talk more than the other DJs. We're kind of doing a talk show before we had a talk show now. And he's a fiend now. He's a freedom fiend occasionally. We used to have licenses. You used to have you have to have a license to be on radio. Like in the 80s, to do this show, we would have to each send $10 to the FCC with some information and get a we were card carrying broadcasters, is what I'm saying. You actually had to have a card. It's funny. Huh. Yeah. Now they don't care.
I had
they'll
to
put
do
anyone
that.
On. Did you? For what?
Yeah, 92 to 98. I was on WGDR in Plainfield, Vermont.
And they still had that then?
Yeah, I had to take a little test thing and send in and $10. And then I would get my card, which for some reason they insisted be framed and set up there so that no one is allowed to lose their license. So that when you're there, you're actually licensed, you know?
Wow, that's 920 watts. Man, that's good. You rocked. And then I was also a DJ
they kept it.
In Charlottesville, Virginia at WTJU for one shift, and then I got fired. I went on the air, and I brought a Madonna record. No, it wasn't I took a Madonna record that came into the station, you know, like I was opening the mail. And I wasn't going to—I just lived in Charlottesville. I wasn't going to school there, but somehow I got to be a DJ. And I put the Madonna record on, played like 30 seconds of it, and then ripped the needle across the record, broke the record. You could hear it breaking on the air, and threw it in the trash, and I got fired for that. A friend of mine got kicked off the air because he See, what I'm getting at is that it used to say, yeah, the rules were on the back of the license, and one of them was that you couldn't broadcast false news reports. Do you remember that? It said that on the back of the license. There were like four rules.
I vaguely remember this.
You can't broadcast falseness, and you have to give the station ID twice an hour. That's the only rules, really. Oh, and I think it said you couldn't.
I remember that rule.
I think it said I think it also said that you could not incite riots or incite people to take up arms against the government.
Yeah. Oh, we had one more rule. We couldn't have politicians have their own radio show. That's what we had in Vermont.
Oh, that's probably a voter law, not a college, a radio law, isn't it?
That's true. It affected them as the actual candidate, not because they're not the station.
Yeah, I think that's election law, not FCC law. But
oops.
Actually, back
I'm
then
just
they had something.
My statism.
yeah. Back then they had something called the Fairness Doctrine too, which was that if you had a Republican on, you had to have a Democrat on for an equal amount of time.
Yeah.
And then they got rid of that. And I think if you if a broadcaster gave an opinion that was right wing, you had to have another person come in and give a left wing. But we don't have to do that because we're libertarian and we give both and neither at the same time. No, they got rid of that law.
We could do it.
And that's what created law. Really, you want to be take turns being each of those people?
No, I was thinking on Facebook, we could have a really smart person to counter all, a stupid person on a show.
Speaking of weird, sort of smart, stupid people, smart, stupid people. Yeah. My cousin, Cash Newman, is on Twitter now. Well, he's on the internet now. He's never been on the internet before, and I helped him set up an account on his phone last week, and he's tweeting insane stuff. You should subscribe to him. It's Cash _ Newman, NEWMANN. And he is really funny and weird. And he actually got on my account today by accident and posted thinking it was his account because he doesn't understand how the internet works. So if you follow me on Twitter and you saw like 15 or 20 posts in a period of about 5 minutes today that were just crazy, that was him thinking he was on his account. Yeah. Yeah.
So beware of grandpa who gets on your account on the internet.
Here's one. Music pumps my soul, lights my heart, and embiggens my mind. I play music because I love music. I live in a nifty neighborhood in San Francisco. It's very nice, but very city. That's one of his tweets.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other Chrome robot turd available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. And get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android worms.
Michael, show me where that bacon touched you.
In my tummy, right here, and it was great. Oh, you're vegetarian? I forget.
I get accused of that too often. That's true.
Are you?
No, but I do get accused of being vegetarian, of liking the Grateful Dead, and of
I like the Grateful Dead.
Like building my own house.
But I like, Dead Kennedys too, so it all evens out. The Grateful Dead Kennedys. So, how many famous Hollywood directors who've recently been accused of sexual misconduct do you know personally and have hung out with?
Zero.
My answer
just
is
zero directors that I know. Yeah.
Yeah. Paul Haggis, the unfortunately named Paul Haggis, as my wife and I call him, because his last name means pickled meat in a sheep's bladder, doesn't it? Buried in the ground or something.
It does.
Haggis is.
It's
Haggis is
kind of like Fred Gefilte Fish, So.
Yes. Oh man, Gefilte Fish and Haggis. Eat your Gefilte Fish and Haggis. Yeah. If you had one parent who was Jewish and another who was God, who eats gefilte fish? No, Jews eat gefilte. No.
That's Jewish. That's where I started.
It's also
that's how I knew gefilte
it's
fish.
Jewish, but I think it's also Minnesotan, right? I think our board op can confirm that. Is that a delicacy there? Gefilte fish? I think so.
Lute?
Yeah, he said yeah, but he sounded like
lutefish.
It harmed him. It's similar to lutefish. Yeah, isn't it? So eat your haggis and lutefish. Yeah, haggis is Scottish, but
so you know this guy really touched someone or what? What's your
opinion? I don't know. I have no idea. I met him though. I hung out with him and we had a meeting in France when I was there with I was in the DeVille American Film Festival with my movie Hubert Selby Jr. It'll Be Better Tomorrow. I was flown out by the film festival, which was great. This was such a punk rock, like, this is my life. So I got flown out to France to show this movie and speak and introduce it. People loved it. Stayed in a 5-star hotel. Robert Downey Jr. was on the same floor down the hall from me. Robert Downey Jr. narrated the film, too, that I directed. But so, like, I was being treated like a god. Like, you know, I was picked up in Paris by a limo, by a town car and a driver, and driven back to my hotel, 5-star hotel. Stayed there, all the food comped, everything comped. Go back to Los Angeles. I'm so poor, I'm washing my socks out in the sink when I got back from there. But yeah, so this guy was a fan of Selby, and he heard I made this movie about Selby and wanted to meet me and talk to me. And he met me and talked to me. And then I sent him a picture of the movie, and then he wrote back and said it was a very nice movie, although he had his secretary write me, not him. So my friend says that means he didn't really love it. But yeah, I hung out with him.
So what's the story on Paul Haggis? Did he get caught doing something?
Haggis. Paul Haggis. Let's look him up. Paul Haggis. No, well, you look him up, and I'll say what he directed. So he directed Million Dollar Baby. He wrote that movie, that one that Clint Eastwood directed. He wrote and directed Crash, which won a bunch of awards. That one that's like Matt Dillon, and it's weird, and it's about racism, and it's great. You ever seen that movie? Sandra Bullock. It's got everybody. It's like Sandra Bullock, Don Cheadle, Brendan Fraser, Michael Pena, Keith David. I like Keith David. Matt Dillon. Yeah. Yeah, good movie.
Wow. I got a page here that says,
wow, Leia he actually Remini directed an episode of Walker, Texas Ranger, too. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Allegedly, Leia Remini implies Church of Scientology behind Paul Haggis's rape allegations.
Whoa, and I thought the Church of Scientology, I thought one of the guys from the Church of Scientology defended him. One of the big guys, wasn't he?
And then there's that too. And oh, Paul he Haggis publicly broke sexual misconduct.
He publicly broke from the Church of Scientology in 2009.
Oh, very, that's apostasy.
Very public about it. Yeah, they don't like that, allegedly. So yeah, he didn't do allegedly. It. I'm going to say right now, he didn't do it. He's a nice guy. He didn't try to molest me, so he's cool. I like him. You go, Paul Haggis. Keep making great movies.
And for anyone out there who's trying to remove themselves from a potentially hazardous religion or cult following or group.
Allegedly. Yeah.
Yeah, allegedly. Consider just, you know, for a small monthly donation, you can support the Freedom Fiends and then feel much better about your life.
And we won't dox you when you leave, probably, unless you're mean to us.
Yeah. Patreon.
So the moral of the story real quick is I am tacitly connected to everything in the news, even Paul Haggis. Haggis! The unfortunately named Paul Haggis. I like him. I like his movies.
Cell 411 is a great free app for Android and iPhone. It allows you to set up public and private cells for dealing with crime, emergencies, setting up neighborhood watch, activism, and even protecting your kids from bullies on the street or at school. Cell 411 gives your cells turn-by-turn directions to your location with one touch on your phone. There is also a Bluetooth panic button available that can be worn on your wrist, belt, or around your neck. Cell 411 has real-time chat for each alert, so you can discuss the incident with family or friends in real-time video streaming. The video is stored on Cell 411's servers, so your evidence cannot be deleted if your phone is taken or destroyed. Cell 411 has decentralized ride sharing that allows for payment in any form: crypto, barter, silver, cash, etc. Cell 411 does not take a cut of your fare. Get Cell 411 free on Google Play and the iTunes Store, or go to getcell411.com. That's getcell411.com.
What? Huh? Yeah.
This is the Freedom Fiends, secreting seditious sounds from the flaccid fiend bone of liberty. We give you a crypto chiropractic crack to strengthen your spine against thin wiretaps of tyranny. Welcome back, Mr. D.
Man, Chelsea Manning still looks like a dude. I would not hit it. Oh, sorry. Are we on air? Okay. What? I didn't
know
we started.
Staying in context, right?
So, like, Chelsea Manning, who used to be named what? Chester Manning? No.
Bradley.
What was he? Bradley Manning, yeah. Sergeant Bradley Manning, yeah. Who's a great American hero for exposing things that need to be exposed, but went to prison and was really surprised that Obama pardoned her. I'll say her. I'll give her the benefit of the doubt. She wants to play dress up. Her, man, that's just, we're going to get haters right there. She retweeted something that somebody typed 20 times. Trans women are women. Trans women are women. Trans women are women with male junk. All right. So, yeah, so she's a big liberal hero now. But, unlike most people on talk radio, I'm not like, she's a traitor. She should be death penalty. No, I'm glad she did what she did. I'm glad Obama, here's her dressed up in a furry costume like a cat. I don't need to see that. No, she lives in San Francisco. Of course she does. Well, Cash Newman.
What are you glad that really Chelsea Newman did?
Chelsea Newman? Chelsea Manning Newman? Yeah, that's like married. My cousin would hit it. He'd hit it, but he's probably too old for her. He's like a year younger than me. So, yeah, I got to retweet that. So, Cash Newman. No, Chelsea Manning. What'd she do? She leaked. She was working for the military. She was one of the 1 million people in America who has a secret clearance for the government. Think about that. How can you keep things in your pocket when 1 million people know? But, you know, she tweeted, she didn't tweet. She gave a DVD of data that she got from the government to WikiLeaks, and they leaked it, including the collateral murder, right? That was her? The video of Americans
shooting. She was the one who allegedly. Shooting unarmed civilians, just blowing them up from
and laughing
air,
like
and giving the order
game.
To do so.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yep. So that is something that should be public for sure. And but she's running for Senate, and so is Sheriff Joe Arpaio. I guess not in the same place, and I don't vote because voting's dumb. But if they're in the same place, well, actually, here's a picture of her standing in a place I've stood. In Dolores Park, I recognize this. But, she's running for Senate. And she is an inveterate, not only inveterate liberal, but an uber statist. You know, she thinks, we just got to get the right people in there. And I guess those people are me. So, I'm not down with that. I don't believe it. Yep.
So, for some reason.
What say you?
She. You know, I'm saying, here's what I'm thinking is just, why are people making a big deal about this kind of person? I think this is all distraction technique, you know, just like you have a prominent person out there and to make people who are against like giving information out there about that American like military people kill unarmed civilians and laugh about it as if that's a bad thing to know about. Like everyone already
Cash
knows
Newman's
that.
Crazy.
In the world,
Cash
probably,
Newman, I just got an alert. Cash, sorry to interrupt. I just want to say, Newman just tweeted. He's in the room with me. He's here. He's staying here for a while. He just tweeted. He retweeted a picture of Chelsea Manning from Chelsea Manning's site and said, I'd hit it Hashtag thank you for your service. Man, dude. And he's also following a bunch of feminist sites, including Feminist Frequency. Cash, you're going to get in trouble. I got to explain the internet to him. All right. Sorry, go ahead. I'm going to turn my mic off so you can talk.
Sometimes it's hard to know. How many people do you think out there are really actually aware of how blatant the whole manipulation is? You know, to bring these people up into the front of, you know, attention span of everyone saying the same news. Sergeant Bradley Manning, all the, there's like released a collateral damage, collateral murder video.
Yeah.
WikiLeaks involvement, etc., involved in military court is now and then basically changed his sex and now pardoned by Obama and now released. That's like the quick version of what just happened with Chelsea Manning. And
yeah,
doesn't this seem like distraction or what?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
really?
Yeah, because isn't Trump being investigated by somebody, some government, something? I don't know, somebody.
I mean, I think Trump is quite a distraction, isn't he?
Yeah.
I know,
yeah.
Exactly. I mean, we've got, like, real things to do. Synthesize.
Well, you know, I know the stepson of one of the 12 Jews who run the world, and he told me that they wanted Hillary to win until Trump started running. Like, they were like, none of these Republicans, we're not letting any of them win. So they actually got Trump to run, and he's a former Democrat. He's basically a Democrat, and you know, it's kind of like when John Wayne went over to Democrat Ronald Reagan's mansion and said, hey, Hollywood needs you. You know, the 12 Jews who run the world have asked me to come over and talk to you and run for president. And that actually happened. So, but those guys let me down because I got a message to one of them and they were going to make the price of Bitcoin go up to 25 grand on New Year's Eve so I could win a bet. $100 bet with a bunch of people I know online, and I lost because they didn't do it for me, man. I'm mad at them.
Well, I knew about Trump's win months ahead of time because I read Scott Adams, the creator of Dilbert, who predicted that Trump would be winning because, you know, Trump was really much better at neuro-linguistic programming, basically, or NLP techniques.
Like, basically
and
imitating
this was months and months ahead
of him. Right? Isn't that what that is?
Yeah. No, that's one thing. It's tracking and like mimicking, mirroring, and all that. But there's more to it than that, you know.
How do you do that when you're on TV and can't see who you're talking to?
Well, this essentially, it's doing it like a spray and pray kind of method, and like basically praying that a lot of people are deficient in mental abilities and emotional like balancing methods. So. Which is real. So basically, this, you know, it works. And that's what he said. And this was like months ahead of time. So this guy, Scott Adams, who's pretty wealthy from his Dilbert, his Dilbert cartoons and other stuff.
His Dilberting.
Like that. Yeah, he just really, he really nailed it, basically. He, you know, and then as soon as I read that, his blog saying this, I was like, yeah, I think so. And, you know, if you're out there listening, and you just want to touch on Scott Adams, go listen to the Joe Rogan podcast and find the one with Scott Adams on it. It's pretty prophetic. He kind of like has stuff. If you want to see what the future is going to come, check this
guy out. That's prophetic.
Prophetic. Yeah, I didn't.
That's prophetic.
Someone help change up my grammar. I don't know.
One day at a time. Norman Lear. We were talking about him in the break. One
we
day
were.
At a time. Remember that show? I had a crush on that girl.
I do because then of Eddie the tension between Schneider. And
Schneider.
Mrs. Romano. Yeah.
That show could never be on the air now. Schneider'd have to be gay, wouldn't be hitting on the women, or he'd hit on the women and they'd castrate him or something. Good Times. He did Good Times, Maude. Fernwood Tonight. I think that's one that didn't go very far. Whatever that is.
But definitely Mary All Hartman, in the Family.
Sanford and Son. Little Rascals TV movie. Yeah. Yep.
You've got
Tennessee
the
Ernie
there,
Ford
apparently.
Show. Man. The Tennessee Ernie Ford show in 1958. That was great. Remember that?
No.
I remember. Yeah.
I remember My Three Sons. I'm going back that far. How about that?
Isn't one of those guys in the Dead Kennedys now?
One of those guys.
One of the three sons.
Let's
the singer.
Really?
Some child star is the singer for Dead Kennedys now. Yeah, I'll look it up. Let's see. Brandon Cruz.
Child stars of the 50s.
Brandon Cruz was the singer. Courtship of Eddie's Father. Yeah.
That's
Kid was the singer in Dead Kennedys for a while. You know, not my Dead Kennedys. The Dead Kennedys after Jell-O left. You know, I went to... So do you know about Dead Kennedys suing each other?
I didn't even know that, like, they split like that and made, like, a Jell-O version and then the non-Jell-O version.
Well, no, there's no Jell-O version because he has more integrity. So he just, and he has more draw. So he just went, he just tours talking as Jell-O Biafra, basically doing what we're doing, but on a chair in front of an audience, and probably makes more money than the Dead Kennedys combined. Yeah, so basically he got funny with the money and they sued him. And it was, this is bizarre. So, like, Jell-O was so bullheaded that he wouldn't, you know, the lawyers were trying to get them to go to arbitration or settle out of court. And he wanted his day in court, which turned into 3 weeks in court with a jury trial. And he lost because he was grandstanding and trying to make it, you know, like, and furthermore, and the other guys in the band were all, you know, he was living in a nice house and making a lot of money because he ran the label. And so basically what happened was they signed a contract that he wrote in 1979 that said that they'd each get paid 25 cents per record sold. And they didn't consider the possibility that the price of records would go up. You know, usually it's a percentage, not an amount. And you could say, right, well, you know, they signed it, but they signed it kind of not really knowing much about the music industry, and he did. So he kind of tricked them, and when the price of records were up to where he was making like $4 on a record and they were still making 25 cents, they sued him, and they won. And the reason they won was because they were all, like, you know, working as house painters and UPS drivers, and just look, it basically looked like horrible capitalist crushing the little man, and it was in San Francisco, and the little man won. And little Mike and I went to the jury trial for 3 days in a row, and it was like watching my parents get divorced, man. It harmed me because I grew up listening to that band, and they were, you know, Jell-O taught me more about how the world works than my dad did, probably, or at least about politics. And he made me distrust the government, although now he's, I guess he just distrusted Republicans because Reagan was president back then. So he actually said he didn't like Obama because Obama didn't go far enough, and I think he endorsed Bernie Sanders.
I think that's where you kind of lost me, you know. But
well, typical. Being a statist liberal cuck is where he lost you. Yeah,
pretty much. And like, when we come back, we might touch on some other statist liberal C words and such.
We got some topics though. We should do some topics.
Touch some topics.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now. Biptunia, music for the drive to Alpha Centauri. Biptunia's influences are Gary Numan, Brian Eno, Pink Floyd, David Bowie, Led Zeppelin, Grateful Dead, Frank Zappa, Robert Fripp, Blondie, Kraftwerk, and Dead Kennedys. Biptunia styles are trip-hop, rock, pop, glam, industrial, ambient, jazz, and space. Plus, it's got cats and is covered by the BIPCOT NoGov license. You can download Biptunia's music free. Go to biptunia.com. That's BIPTUNIA. Bravo, India, Papa, Tango, Uniform, November, India, Alpha, biptunia.com.
Freedom Fiends returns. So I'm Daryl, and Michael is ethers over there. Yeah, he
is. I'm not doing ether. I'm out of ether. What are you talking about? I'm kidding. I don't have ether. I did ether one time. We had ether in the high school, in the middle school, 7th grade science lab. And I saw it one day, and I huffed a bunch of it. because that's what I did in seventh grade. And then the teacher came in and could smell it in the room. And it's like, Michael, we need to talk. Yep. Allegedly. So you got a topic? Allegedly. What's your topic, man? What's up?
I thought we were just, you know, going to go back to all these PSYOP touchy-feely events that go on, you know? The people like that keep...
Liberals? My cat? My cat playing synthesizer?
You know, that people actually pay attention to the dramas going on with ugly Hollywood, meaning politics, right?
And they should be looking at my cat playing synthesizer. You know how many views this thing has on Facebook already?
Close by.
Or on YouTube? There's 25
how many views on YouTube?
Yeah, 25.
That many?
Yep. Yep. Yeah. So last night,
select, huh? Is it private?
Last night, my cat. I was playing with some new soft synthesizers, which are basically software that emulates a synthesizer, and you play it with a keyboard. Now, here's why this is important to me is because in my life, the price of synthesizers has gone from thousands of dollars to nothing. Last night, I downloaded two software synthesizers. One of them was emulating an ARP 2500, which they had one in a music store in my town when I was a kid. And they were like $5,000 in 1983. And that was like $10,000 now, maybe more, probably $14,000. And I just downloaded one last night, and it's just as good. I mean, it's indistinguishable in a blind test. You could not, not an expert, but someone who listens to a lot of music with synths could not tell the difference. And it was free, and I downloaded one. And then this other one called Crystal, and I was playing with Crystal and the ARP. And my cat, Bob, jumped up on my keyboard and just sat on it. And it was just playing sustained notes. And I filmed him, and it was fun. And then it stopped working, and I said, did you break it? And that's the end of it. But... I'm more interested in that than what Trump's doing. That's what I'm saying.
Really? And, exactly. Know, because
I am. Yeah.
It's about what's important. And what's really going to help your life posted, right now?
The cat picture you posted during the missile alert. Explain that one.
Cat picture during the missile alert? Wait a second.
Well, maybe it was your girlfriend. There was a picture of your
I
cat
was tagged
like,
in this picture.
Stretching. Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Little Tina was all in repose on her little blue chair. It's like a miniature of the one that...
In the sun. Sunning yourself.
Yeah. And she's just full on fluff of the belly open, because that's what she likes to do, you know?
Yeah.
Lots of fluff. She's a long hair kind of thing, you know?
And what'd it say?
So, yeah, that's what her thoughts on... Tina Louise says about the ballistic missile threat.
Yeah, it said something like missile incoming, world ending. Here's what I'm doing, or something like that.
Yeah,
I liked it.
Something like that. Yeah,
it kind of reminded me of there's a meme that picture from the movie Alien of Susan Sarandon holding that orange cat on the spaceship, and it said alien invasion, ship exploding. Life in danger. Where's my cat? I like that.
Yeah, making it through that alien movie. Sigourney Weaver, right? No.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, right. You're right.
Yeah.
Some liberal who's probably molested people, allegedly, maybe, probably not, but you know. What is this thing with
I think in Hollywood?
Just... Yeah, let's talk about that.
They have to.
They have to molest
people. If you're
people?
In Hollywood, yeah. Basically, I know
you're a plaything for much, producers, basically.
If you really want to get ahead, if you want to get that certain part in Grey's Anatomy or Frasier.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yeah. So we're naming both shows. Yeah.
You know, there might be some requirement to do some really, really twisted things, and it might go way, way further than anyone would ever imagine.
Casting couch.
It seems like from... Yeah, like things like that.
My friend used to make you. My friend used to make films under the name of Casting Couch Productions.
That is something to not look into your search engine right now if you happen to be someone who's a bit.
I wonder if there's porn where that's the plot. I'll bet there is, because porn's all made by failed filmmakers that couldn't make it in Hollywood. mostly.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Yep.
There are controversial bones to touch in certain topics, and then suddenly pop in a question to see if you'll co-sign to it.
Yeah, you asked me.
That's like burying the lead.
You explained this long theory of how the world should work during the break, because, you know, you're a libertarian, and they all know how the world should work better than, you know, my dad told me this thing he liked. He didn't make this up, but it said, it's too bad everyone... He told me this like 30 years ago. Too bad that everyone who really knows how to run the country is too busy to run for president because they're driving taxis and cutting hair. Which basically just means people have opinions and don't like to be told what to do. And with good reason, because in a democracy, everybody gets ripped off a little bit. Everybody, and you know, people who love democracy, and I'm not saying there should be a totalitarian, I say there should be more self-rule. But in a democracy, you know, everybody, they say everyone has to give a little bit and compromise. No, I look at it more like everyone has to get robbed a little by the people in charge to give money to the other people.
Especially who gets the most robbed?
Who?
That's my opinion, I guess. Children. Well, they're the most disenfranchised of all people across the world. They're the least powerful. Yeah. You know, it's like there's places you can get arrested and thrown in jail if you're definitely being shown that you beat your dogs. But you can get away with that to many degrees with children still. I'm just saying, here's the deal. The children are disenfranchised, like, in so many ways, legally speaking, and they just... it's become this infantilizing situation where, you know, certainly long ago, certainly beautiful girls in certain videos, for example, you know, go back hundreds of years and they may indeed have been married at that age. But nowadays,
what are you talking about? That doesn't make sense because like, people didn't hear us during the break. I'm talking about the...
I
sent you a video. You thought Cash Newman was Gary Newman. You were like, oh, Cash Newman, yeah, you sent me a video of him, like, out in the desert singing, and there's some beautiful woman in the video, and I'm like, oh, Gary Newman and his 13-year-old daughter? And you said,
oops.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. Well, you know, I mean, she's made to look older than that in it, so it's not a sin that you said she's attractive. it's his fault for putting his daughter and tarting her up and putting her on the MTVs.
It was not my fault.
No, video's great. I love it. But go on.
It's just children. They don't have power. So what if instead they could have a situation where, you know, communities of individuals who, you know, would say are interested in their children's becoming adults, give their children a chance to verify that they can support themselves, obviously make good choices, you know, earn a living, do things like that, gain all of the protections of the community and other people, but... you know, in case they hurt anyone, now they have the full weight of being an adult and, you know, now paying restitution, you know, full on.
So you said all this during the break and it said, do you agree? And I'm like, that's more than a yes or no.
Do you want
answer? Yeah.
Yeah. Would you like some form of empowerment for children, or would you like to say keep infantilizing them? You know,
I don't like infantilizing of adults, and I do believe that that's a statist agenda, more liberal agenda than conservative, but both. A really good example, I think, was Obamacare putting children, putting offspring on their parents' insurance till age 26 or 27. I mean, that is definitely the government saying, not only are we your parents, not your children's parent, but we're going to keep you a child till you're 27. I mean, 27, all these men that are being accused of horrible things right now, you know, one thing they have in common, whether they did it or not, is that they are what are considered great men by a lot of people, which means that by 27, they weren't living with their parents. By 27, they were, you know, direct, like second director on All in the Family or something. So people, I think a lot of what's going on now is that people who have nothing and have no skills just want to sue other people because they don't want to work. And a common example given with this is the lady who burned herself with McDonald's coffee and sued for $30 million. That's not a good example because that woman actually, the coffee was boiling and it was handed to her in a styrofoam cup and she was elderly and she was burnt and it was much hotter than they are supposed to serve it. McDonald's was negligent. She had third-degree burns, required several reconstructive surgeries. Asked McDonald's to pay her medical bills and nothing else. And they basically laughed at her. And that's when she sued him. And she sued for $30 million to get their attention. And she didn't get that much. But, you know, they should have just paid her medical bills. But anyway, I think that people stop being children. In my libertarian world, you would stop being a child when you are able to support yourself. And in that sense, right, a lot of people, including liberals, are always children, even in their 50s and 60s.
Well, I think to have that happen, here's the deal. That would mean that the community actually has opportunities for a child to even get there. Because you understand right now, the ladder to climb to get to supporting yourself is rather steep for the average 12-year-old, 13-year-old, 14-year-old.
It's pretty high for your average 21-year-old. I mean,
it's actually...
Here's the thing, too.
They've cut some rungs off this ladder.
They have. I do want to give a tiny pass to these kids today, because, you know, people who are my age or older, like I'm 53, people who are 53, 63, often say, I don't understand these kids today. They can't get a job. When I was 18, I joined the Army and then got out and went to college on the GI Bill and then got a job as an engineer and then supported a family of four for 60 years. Here's the thing, though. When I was a kid, that was a lot more possible to do because back then, you know, you could, I mean, an unskilled laborer could get a job making the equivalent of $15 to $20 an hour today, working on the line in a shop, machine shop, or a car making business. You could get student loans. College was much cheaper, and even allowing for inflation, it was much cheaper. College prepared you for the world more. High school prepared you for the world more. And you're born into this world owing $60,000 now, because that's what the debt per person is to now. So it's a lot harder, you know. A lot of jobs have gone overseas. A lot of things that used to be done in America, manual labor, are not done here anymore. And I'm not saying globalism isn't a good thing. I think that jobs and work and manufacturing should go where the market makes it cheap and good. But, it was easier when I was a kid, and I still didn't do it. But I supported myself from age 19 on. At 17, I got kicked out of high school and went to college, and my dad barely supported me in college. I mean, he gave me $40 a week to live on, which would be the equivalent of about $100 a week now. You can't live on that. But I was living on it, and I went to college, and I finished 2 years of college, didn't get a degree, but learned some stuff. And then I've supported myself since age 19, and I'm 53, so it can be done. But
it can
a lot
be
of
done,
people
and
today can't, you know?
Well, that's true because they're seeking in that old way of thinking. But then there's a lot of people, Michael, who are thinking in a more, I don't know, just innovative and creative kind of way. And I'm talking about the people out there who said, you know what, I'm going to mine some Bitcoin. You know what, I'm going to trade some cryptocurrencies. I am going to actually
crypto's the great
make
equalizer
acquisitions.
Because it's actually really difficult to start your own business now. That was a lot easier to as a kid when I was a kid too. Like when I was a kid, if you wanted to start a business, you just hung up a sign and said, "I'm starting a business." Now there's a lot more regulation. I mean, the city of Los Angeles, when I lived there, the guy who was editing my Selby movie, you know, worked as an editor in Hollywood, but on the weekends was working at home on this. And when the movie came out and it said that he was the editor, the city of Los Angeles sent him a tax bill because they said he was running a home-based business. And he had to, like, go down to City Hall and bring paperwork and an attorney and prove to them that he wasn't, like, bringing clients in and charging money, you know, off the street to not owe them money. I mean, a lot of... And that kind of stuff happens more and more.
Wow, to prove a negative, that is something.
Yeah, I just heard of a guy. I saw an article about a guy in Nashville who's been running a home recording studio for like 40 years or 30 years in a suburban neighborhood, but like totally soundproof, can't hear it from the street at all, can't even hear anything from the street. His clients always park in his driveway. His neighbors all love him. He's produced like Grammy award-winning records in his home. And the city is saying like he has to end it because he's not zoned for it there. Like that kind of stuff you could do back then. All that kind of stuff. So all that's a lot harder. But cryptocurrency is kind of a great equalizer because... And it kind of like got a lot of nerds rich and a lot of libertarians rich who probably never would have been able
still
to otherwise.
Still doing it.
Yeah, I saw an article the other day that said, why is cryptocurrency boom shutting out women and people of color? And my answer is because those people thought we were crazy 5 years ago when we were doing this. A lot of them did. I mean, yeah. I've had people say like, oh, crypto, like Bitcoin, oh, that's white people money. I don't need to do that. I'm going to go make paper down on the corner or whatever, or, you know. Make my hip hop records, or you know, a lot of women. There's a really funny thing about cryptocurrency that kind of sums it up. I don't know if it's real or not, but it's a Facebook screenshot of a woman writing a man in 2011 and breaking up with him and saying like, you know, I can't be with you anymore, Bill. All you do is talk about your Bitcoin, Bitcoin this, Bitcoin that. All your friends are making money flipping real estate. Why don't you get a job? I'm done with you. I need a real man. That was like 2011. And then the next comment from her, like she writes him again in like 2017, like, hey, Bill, how you doing?
And what that means, in case people listening, is that Bill happened to have, like, say, his Bitcoin at that point in the end of 2017 was worth somewhere in the $16,000 per Bitcoin plus range.
Yeah. And you know, if he was so in it 2011 and obsessed with
Bitcoin,
got a
bunch of it.
He's probably a multimillionaire. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
So let that be a lesson to you.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Cell 411 is a great free app for Android and iPhone. It allows you to set up public and private cells for dealing with crime, emergencies, setting up neighborhood watch, activism, and even protecting your kids from bullies on the street or at school. Cell 411 gives your cells turn-by-turn directions to your location with one touch on your phone. There is also a Bluetooth panic button available that can be worn on your wrist, belt, or around your neck. Cell 411 has real-time chat for each alert so you can discuss the incident with family or friends in real-time video streaming. The video is stored on Cell 411's servers so your evidence cannot be deleted if your phone is taken or destroyed. Cell 411 has decentralized ride-sharing that allows for payment in any form, crypto, barter, silver, cash, etc. Cell 411 does not take a cut of your fare. Get Cell 411 free on Google Play and the iTunes Store, or go to getcell411.com. That's getcell411.com.
Yeah.
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 We return with the Freedom Fiends redemption in the third act. Just being here feels redemption, you know? Just want to breathe some air here.
What, having not died in a thermonuclear war on Saturday? It does feel good.
That was good. Yeah, it was nice to not die.
Yep.
Oh, you know, that the show instead.
The adultish woman, young woman in the Gary Numan video, his daughter, isn't just in there like, oh, here's a cute chick. She sings on that song. You know that, right? She's the background vocal.
Yeah, that's what I meant. She was one of the singers.
Yeah. Oh, I know you know that. I'm just saying for the audience, like, you know, he's not just using his daughter like a prop. She's a singer on the album.
But she was pretty dressed up, honestly. They both were.
Yeah, in an interesting way. In very heavy, thick clothing. And it was 119 in the desert that day. So, wow. He's suffering for his art. You know the band Flipper?
It's a good video. And what was that song called, by the way? In case you want to look it up.
My name is Ruin. My name is Ruin. Google that, and it's the first thing that comes up is that YouTube video.
Right on YouTube. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, besides the redemption of that, missile threat that was false. And the other part is just looking down at my beautiful little kitty who just rolls on her back and totally helps to calm down the nerves of my not exactly
the hamster
as calm
in your brain.
As me type.
She eats the hamster in your brain.
She is just not calm.
What
as
about
me
your?
For the
I didn't
whole
hear.
Situation.
I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
She was just
you
not as calm during
girlfriend?
The whole situation. She was just
was your
not,
girlfriend
not as calm. Not as calm. No, I had
Were
to
calm?
Do some. You know. Yes, that's my job. I'm secure.
Tie her up.
No, just you know, there's other measures to make things calm for people. You know what to do. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, we're on Hawaii, so you know, think about it. Just take a little walk. You know, just look at the chickens, feed the chickens,
look for the missiles,
pet the cat's fluffy belly. You know.
How do you
and
keep
and
the cats
you, you know, you're over
from
there
eating
in,
the baby chickens?
You're in a bunker. Yeah, you see, that's the cool thing. She knows that those chicks are ours. And she takes in other things, like she'll leave me a rat and maybe some of the other songbirds, you know. It's like, here's a lovely little yellow one, Daryl. You're just so skinny. Why don't you eat this? That's
you're
her
skinny.
Message to me. And that you got that right.
If we could combine our physiques, we'd be great. Because I'm kind of plump and luscious, and you're kind of skeletally.
You could become a bouncer. With an effort, you know, with like you and your kettlebell routine and stuff like that, and what do you do like
my wrestler's neck
bounces on, yeah, exactly,
my thick wrestler's and necks, yes,
cauliflower nose, you know, so was it?
Yes, yeah, thanks, yeah.
I mean,
so
you
what
look
else
great,
you
Michael.
Got there?
Come on,
no, I don't. I don't have to. I have a face
no,
for
you
radio.
Don't.
Yeah.
Well,
I was handsome.
You
when
built
I was
younger, this,
but
and you had like what, like 5,000 like groupie women, right?
Yeah, no, I actually not that many. 175. My wife was number 176. I did keep track.
I also kept track, but my number is not there.
Yeah, what's your number?
Wow, 20.
Aw, that's
20.
Sweet. That's
isn't it though?
Cute.
Yeah. Isn't it?
A bunch of people have like been married since high school or like going.
It's like,
oh my
God. I'm a late developer,
horrible.
As they say. Yeah. But it's redemption, right?
I'm not.
And we made it. And, you know, once again, I am
I was like
honored
Persian
to be
Newman's name, Persian Newman's year when I was age.
So, in general. Is there more fiend redemption that you require? Is there something to pull, more rabbits to pull out of the hat for this?
Are Medicaid doesn't require. Medicaid doesn't acknowledge that you have teeth unless you're a child. Boy, there's a socialist headline for you.
That is, like, cryptic. I'm trying to understand it. We don't recognize that you have teeth. You know.
the article's called "Why Don't We Treat Teeth Like the Rest of Our Bodies?" and why is dentistry separate from medicine? But yeah.
I'm glad you're looking at AOL mail over there.
Yeah. I got something on the AOL. I'm going to forward it to everyone in my list. CC'd. In all caps.
Well,
with a lot
make
of
sure
forwarding
to type
marks.
In all caps.
Yeah.
It's been redemptive.
You kids today and your 20 women.